Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
Let's make a joyful noise into the Lord in this place.
Harvest House, I love you. Funny story is that it seems like not just this time, but every time I bring something to this church to preach, I feel like I've already preached it here before. When I was down praying last night, I keep really good notes on what I preach. I write down. I have notebooks that are delegated just for that purpose. This message was preached here on this date. What the service was, whether it be youth service or whether it be regular service. I don't know why every time I come here and preach, I feel like I've preached this message already. But God kind of revealed to me, he said, because maybe you had it on your heart when you was preparing. Amen. Maybe I had this church on my heart while I was preparing it. And I think that this message I'm preaching today, I've preached it a few times at different churches. I think today that I'm preaching it for the first time. I'm not sure. My notes didn't tell me that I've already preached it here, but I must have had Harvest House on my mind while I was preparing it. But I love Harvest House. I pray for Harvest House often. Amen. I want to see Harvest House succeed, and you are succeeding. When Brother Orton came here, they said it would never work. He would never pastor an apostolic church in Crittenden County, but he's doing it. And he's been doing it for, 17 years now? Amen. That's something to give God glory over. Come on. Anybody glad that you're a member of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church International? Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Orton's a busy man. He's pastoring two churches now, working a full-time job. How many loves your pastor? Amen. I love the Orton family. They've done such a great job in this county. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what True Harvest House is. Amen. They said it wouldn't happen, but it's happening. Amen. I'm glad I got my family here with me today, my beautiful wife, my children. I love them. But without further ado today, I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew chapter number 2. Pretty popular portion of scripture today. Matthew chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5. You got it? Amen? If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all must be looking, up above me, so it must be on the screen already. Matthew chapter 2 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, when he heard these things, he was troubled." He's going to mess his kingdom up. The stronghold that he had, this little baby boy was going to mess the stronghold that he had on that people. Yeah. "And all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And all they did was they turned to the Old Testament and they read where the prophets wrote it down." You see, if he was any man at all, he would know exactly what the prophets would have said. "They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." Let's skip down to verse number 11. It says, And when they come into the house, when the wise men came into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. King Herod, he didn't have the best of interest at heart for that innocent little child, Jesus. He was in fact wanting the location of where Jesus was so that he could have him taken care of. And when I say taken care of, he was going to have his life ended.
Yeah.
He even went as far as to say to those wise men, let me know where he is because I want to go and I want to go worship him. That's yeah. not what he was going to do. Go and find out where he is. Amen. And if you would just turn your attention to the screen in James chapter number 2. Just a few more scriptures and I'll let you be seated. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them another way. Anybody see the resemblance in what we're reading today?
Yeah.
Those wise men were given a dream and God directed them to go another way. Don't go to their country the same way that they came, but go another way so yeah. that they can preserve the life of Jesus. And Rahab the harlot, she received those spies from the 12 tribes of Israel, and she received them and she allowed them to go out of her house another way. She preserved their lives. And today in your hearing, with the help of God, I'd like to preach a message titled, Another Way. Lift your hands to Jesus. My God, we love you. God, we prepare our hearts to receive your word today, God. Oh God, help us to apply what you would have to say in this place, God. God, help us, Lord, to leave this place differently than we walked in, God. All the heavy hearts, God. We pray, God, that you would lift up and set the captive free in this place, God. Help us to break the chains of bondage and poverty, God. Help us, Lord, to break the chains of addiction, Lord, in this place today, God. God, I pray that your spirit would be poured out upon Mary and God. I pray that your spirit would be poured out on Harvest House in the name of Jesus. God, we love you. God, we love you. God, we love you. God, we love you. Amen. If you're going to preach with me today, you can be seated. But if not, just remain standing. Today, I'll preach a universal message. I present to you today that this message could be preached not only to the youth of this church, but it could be preached to every saint and sinner abroad.
Amen.
Despite where you come from, despite who you are, despite what your last name is, and despite how long you've been in the church, God has sent me here to let you know that you can leave this place another way.
Yeah.
Amen.
You don't have to leave this place the same way that you walked in.
Yeah.
Amen. Today, this message is about direction. Though my title may sound as if I'm setting you up for a new and improved way to live for God, the last time I checked, the Bible still says you should not enter into the kingdom of God unless you've been born again of the water of the Spirit.
Right.
Amen. You've got to be born again of the water. There's only one way to go down, and that's in the precious name of Jesus. You must be born again of the Spirit, meaning that you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is very, very important today that you are a Holy Ghost filled child of God. And if you do not have the Holy Ghost today, I pray that you would open up your heart and open up your mind and allow God to speak into your life and allow God to change you before you walk out of this place today.
Acts
2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39 says, for this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So I come to present to you today that you are called to be a child of God. I come to tell you today that if it's your 50th time in the church, you've been in
your very first time in the church, you have a calling on your life. There is a plan. There is a road. There is a way that God has orchestrated in your life. He wants you to do something for Him.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
That's right.
The Bible still says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. There is but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Yes.
There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Oh my God. Allah can't do it. Yes. Buddha can't do it. There's no other name given among that you can. I've never had Allah to answer my prayer.
No.
I've never had Buddha answer my prayer.
Yes.
I've never had the spaghetti monster in the sky to answer my prayer. Yes. The only person that's ever answered a prayer that I prayed is Jesus.
Yes.
The only person that's ever answered a prayer that I've sent up is Jesus. The only healing that I've ever received is in the name of Jesus. Feel my health.
Go ahead.
Don't mistake what I'm saying today as a watered down message about doctrine.
Yes.
Because that's not who I am.
Amen.
That's not what I stand for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
As for me and my house, we're going to worship God.
Yeah.
Are you doing that in your house?
Amen.
If you're an old, if you're a youth in this church, and you're the only one living for God, are you living for God in your house? Are you living for God in this world? Are you just being, are you being blown by every wind of doctrine? You being, are you being influenced? Are you being the one doing the influencing?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
As for me and my house, we're going to talk right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're going to dress right.
Go ahead.
We're going to act like Christians. We're going to be Christians.
Yeah.
Because that's who I am.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God.
Yes, amen.
He bought me the price. My God bought me. I am not my own, Brother David. I am owned by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
He paid the ultimate sacrifice for all sin. And because of that, today I can stand and tell you today that my sin's been washed away. Because of that, I can tell you today that my sin was forgiven. My sin was washed away by baptism. And I can attest and tell you today that there is a God.
Yes.
And He will answer prayers. And He will send His Spirit into your life. He didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us comfortless, church.
Oh,
that was all free.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of that was free.
Amen.
I didn't start my timer. It started now. Every bit of that.
Boy,
let's submit to the call of God.
Amen.
Amen. The potential that sits in these pews is unlimited.
Amen.
That's right.
You know what potential is? It's talent.
Uh-huh.
It's the calling of God that you've not yet accepted.
Yeah. Amen.
That's it's dangerous to have potential and never use it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It's dangerous to have a call of God on your life and never apply it to your life.
Yes.
Never
Amen.
Apply it to this world.
Amen.
Yeah.
Never apply it to your family member. It's dangerous to be called of God and never use that calling. I was once that guy. Don't be that guy.
Yes.
It's not cool to be that guy. It's not cool to be called to preach, but when you're in the church, but when you're with your friends and you're kicking it cool in the hood, or you're doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm not about that.
Amen.
I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that here, and I'm going to be that there.
Yes.
I'm going to be a child of God in the church,
yeah.
And I'm going to be a child of God in school. I'm going to be a child of God at church, and I'm going to be a child of God when I'm at Walmart. I'm going to be a child of God no matter where I am.
Amen.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you notice today in our reading, that in both texts, both scriptures, there was quite a bit in common.
Yeah.
In both passages of scripture, there was someone trying to get out of a bad situation.
Amen.
Anybody here ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
Bobby, you've been there a time or two, ain't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody here, there right now, anybody in a bad situation you want to get out of, you don't have to raise your hand. But if you're bold enough to say, yeah, I'm there, get the devil's attention right now. If you're bold enough to say that I'm in a bad situation, my life's a wreck. My life's in shambles.
Come on.
I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills next week. Anybody here willing to raise your hand and say, I'm there right now?
Jesus.
Go ahead.
Come on, get the devil's attention and say, I'm here right now.
No, 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 no.
Oh my God! Another way!
Yeah!
If they had gone back in the same direction in both scriptures, there would have surely been death to come their way.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm convinced today that if those wise men, after knowing that Herod wanted to kill Jesus, and they would have taken the sword before they would have revealed where he was.
Yeah.
I'm 100% positive that those enforcers that came to Rahab's house that day, if they had known where those spies had gone, they would have surely taken their life.
Yeah.
But scripture says that God would provide them another way.
Yeah.
For his people to get out of that nasty situation. God did not allow his people to be without his voice then. And I'm here to tell the church today that he is not going to allow us to be without his voice today.
Come on.
We still serve a God who is willing and able to make a way even when it seems like there's no way.
That's right.
Amen. It's not your way, but it's his way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not what you want, but it's what God wants. Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. Sometimes it's not the way you think it needs to go. But when God says it's got to be this way, this is how it's got to happen. You've got to do this. You've got to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You've got to put those friends behind you and say, guess what? You're no good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
You gotta tell those family members, say, guess what? I'm living for God despite what you think about me, despite what you say about me behind my back. I'm gonna be a child of God. And you can either love me as I am, or you can just forget who I was. But I'm still gonna love God. I'm still gonna love you. You know, we serve a God who has never lost a battle.
Yeah, that's right.
He's undefeated. And I brought proof with me tonight. It says, 1 Corinthians, there hath no temptations taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
Yeah.
But will with the temptations also make a way to escape.
Yeah.
That you may be able to bear it. Amen? In other words, there's not any temptation on this earth that hasn't already been experienced by man.
That's right.
But we serve a God who is faithful to his word. He will allow us to be tempted. He will allow us to go through things.
That's right.
You think living for God's always a bed of roses and blue skies? Guess what? You're still going to fight hell.
Yeah.
You're still going to go through stuff. There's still going to be death. There's still going to be sickness. But God's faithful. Are you?
Yeah.
Come on.
God's faithful. Are you doing your part? When something happens bad in your life, what's your first reaction? Is it to get mad at God and just say, oh, you're not good. You're not a God to me. You're just using me.
Come on.
Are you willing to say, oh my God, I need you. God, I know you're faithful. I know you've been tested and tried, and I know you'll show up in my situation. The writer was basically saying the reason God is allowing you to be tempted is because he knows that somewhere down deep within your spirit, you have the power to overcome it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
But because God is faithful, he will provide you another way.
Yeah.
But it's totally up to you whether or not you make it out good or whether you make it out bad.
Yeah.
So today I've come to preach to this church and say, you may have walked into the church today with sin in your life, but guess what? You can leave another way today.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Today you can leave another way. Today you come to the church and it was just an ordinary service to you.
Yeah.
But you can leave another way.
Yeah.
This church service can come alive when the altar call is given. Guess what? Don't wait till the altar call.
Yes.
Just obey God at any point in time. I don't have to finish this message.
Yes.
God can finish this message.
Yes.
His Holy Ghost can take over. I need some help in here today.
Yes.
God is here and you can leave. My timer says I've only been preaching 7 minutes. I feel like it's been longer than that.
Go ahead.
pastor again. Brother Horton, he said, I got an amazing testimony, and I will tell you that God's been really good to me.
Yeah, he has.
I'm so glad Scripture says where sin abound, grace does much more abound.
Amen.
I'm so glad. I used to take advantage of that Scripture. And I used to say, oh, I can be forgiven on Sunday.
Yeah.
And on Monday, I'm there making that same mistake.
Yeah.
I did not have a repentant heart. I didn't have the heart. I didn't have the heart that God could forgive. His forgiveness was there.
Yes.
But I wasn't willing to change.
Amen.
I wasn't willing to make a change in my life so that God could forgive me and so that God could deliver me. You see, it's all about what you do for God.
Yeah.
If you come to the altar and you don't have the willingness to change your life, you're not going to change.
Amen. That's the truth.
God's never going to take over your self-will. You've got to be willing and able to say, God,
I'm sorry.
Give it all to you.
Yeah.
That's right.
I need you. Guess what? You need God.
Amen. That's the truth.
You need God more than God needs you.
Yes.
Because I don't mean to be mean today. I don't mean to sound arrogant today. But you need God more than God needs you. You see, He's already done His part.
That's right.
He already lived His life.
Yeah.
He already was that perfect atonement for all sin. So what makes us think that God's got to go to the cross every time we make a mistake? What makes us think that God's got to do it all over again just because we're not willing to make a change? We're not willing to do it differently. We're not willing to take another path when we leave those doors right there. You can't change.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. He's got some of you convinced that you'll always be the way that you are right now.
Amen.
You'll always be bound. You'll always be dragging that ball and chain everywhere that you go. You'll always have that last name that everybody thinks of the past.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Talk about it.
Oh.
Oh. Talk about it.
That's a lie from the pits of hell.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God.
Where?
You know what the first memory of God is? Or you know what the first memory God has of you? It's when you gave your life to Him at an altar of forgiveness.
Amen, that's right.
That's right.
When you say, God, I need you to forgive me. When you had that repentant heart. When you present yourself a sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, there was sacrifice. There was a blood sacrifice that had to be given. And people think today, in the New Age church, in the church of the New Testament, that there's no more sacrifice. That's a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lie. God still expects there to be a sacrifice. And guess what it is? It's your life.
Amen.
It's you. It's your blood on an altar, not the blood from your veins, but it's the sin that you lay on an altar of worldliness, the addictions, the things that you fight every day. That's what God wants to see. That's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And He'll say, oh, I receive you, and I'll save you, and I'll make it all right.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
I hope I'm preaching to somebody today.
Come on.
If I'm preaching to anybody, I'm preaching to me. Sometimes I just need to be reminded of how good God was to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
The forgiveness that He had to forgive me of. All the things that He had to forgive me of all over and over and over again. Because I was unwilling to make a change. I challenge you today to get your mind right.
Yeah.
To say, I'm willing, God. There's no future in this world.
No.
There's no future in depending on this world to provide for you. There's a future in the church. There's a future in a life living for God.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
There's a future in growing the church.
Yeah.
There's a future in helping the church and working in the church and giving to the church. There's a future in that. You can give to this world, and they're always going to have a handout waiting for more.
Yeah.
You can give to this world, and it's never going to be enough. They're going to demand. It's going to demand more of you than you can give. And before long, it's going to consume you. And if you're not careful, it'll take your life.
Yes. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Amen.
I've been to the funerals.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Preach it. Preach it. Talk about it.
I've been there. I've seen it firsthand. I've carried the caskets.
of people who just gave it all to the world, raised in church, loved God, but the world consumed them, and addiction took over their life, and before long, they couldn't get enough. Before long, they was needing more and more and more, and before long, it took their life.
Come on.
Gave it to the world. What if they had just given their life to God? Where would they be today? What would they be doing today? They might be holding this microphone preaching to you.
Amen.
You know, if I had to change my ways, here's my testimony. If I had to change my ways, I wouldn't be holding this microphone, but I'd be about 6 foot underground right now.
Amen.
Because that's the life that I was headed toward. That's the life that I was heading toward living. I was in it for the moment. I wasn't scared of nothing. There was nobody that I was scared of. There was nothing I was scared to try. There was nothing I was too scared to do.
Come on.
Jesus.
Living for the moment. Doing whatever I thought was cool. Whatever was going to make me the popular kid. Whatever was going to make me look tough. Whatever was going to make me look cool. Wasn't worth it. And to those friends that I used to have, you see, they're not my friends no more. They see me today and they don't see the same way that I once was. But they see me living for God. And some of them respect it, and some of them make fun of me for it. But I, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Despite what they say, despite what they do, I'm still going to be a child of God. I'm still going to preach His Word. I'm still going to tell the church what God did for me, how He saved my life.
Amen.
Come on, Jesus, help us.
You can always tell where a preacher's being by the way he preaches. And I'm doing that very thing right now, but maybe not in every message he preaches, but if you hear him preach multiple times, you'll pick up on the places he's been, things he's done, people he's come into contact with. And he'll tell you things that he's done. And some preachers only know it one way.
Come on.
And that's always being in the church. And that's a powerful testimony to have. I wished I had that. I wished I had. Brother Jenkins, I wished I had your testimony, buddy. That I've always been in the church. And I've always loved God.
Come on. Talk about it.
That's not a bad thing. Being raised in church is not a bad thing. Having a mother and father that loved you enough to raise you in the church. Cutting your teeth on church pews is not a bad thing. Some preachers have never experienced the world from its point of view. They have only seen it when it comes into the church.
Yeah.
For a preacher to be able to say that, I've never been in the world, I've never dealt with addiction. They've only seen the world when it comes in. That's powerful. That's beautiful. But unfortunately, the majority of your churches are not like that.
Amen.
And that's a good thing to have. That's a good thing to be able to say that I got a church that's full of people that's been forgiven.
Amen. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's everybody.
Amen. That's everybody. Some preachers will let you know their life story. They'll tell you the life of sin that they used to live, the life of sin that God's pulled them out of. They'll let you know what they've done and the roads that they've gone down. And today I come to tell you that I am a child of God. Or you are. You can be a child of God. You don't have to go down those roads.
Yeah.
You don't have to experience those things no more. You don't have to leave here the same way that you walked in.
Amen.
You don't have to experience the world from its point of view any furthermore.
Yeah.
Young people, hear me tonight. Don't you leave this church in search of something better than God.
That's right.
Because you won't find it.
That's right.
It's not out there.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there better than God.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there better than living for God.
Yeah.
Because I know what God's brought me out of. I know how God saved my life.
Yes,
I know what God did for me. And I don't care to tell you where I've come from. I don't care to tell you where I've been. I don't care to tell you the sins that I've done and the things that I've done and the places I've been. If you want to ask me about it, I'll tell you. But I also don't care to tell you what God did for me at an altar of forgiveness.
Yeah.
I also don't care to tell you how He forgave me, how He saved my life, how He made me who I am today. If I'm anything today, it's because of the grace of God.
Amen. Yes, amen. Amen.
God's trying to redirect somebody right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you feel it?
Come on.
Do you feel that in this place right now? I hope it's not just me and Pastor and a few of the other preachers, but I hope it's you. I hope that it's you that feels your heart beating in your chest because you feel the call of God on your life. You feel God pulling at your heartstrings right now.
Come on.
Why don't you let God step into your life and take over? Come on, Sister Bethany, if you would, come to the music. I told you that this message was about direction, but we got to understand that sometimes direction comes with warnings. And right now is when this message transforms from a message of direction to a message of warning to someone. If you walk out of this place today and you take the same path that you've always taken, you've done the same things that you've always done, all destruction could be in your future. Bobby, don't you take the same road that you once took. Don't you walk down that same road. You let God direct you in the path that you should go. Preston, you said that you've been seeking for the Holy Ghost, but you ain't got it yet. Today could be your day.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Am I preaching to anybody today? Anybody dealing with some stuff in your life? Is there anybody here that's willing to come to the altar and say, God, you, God, it's not worth living for. Listen to me. Listen to me, church. Don't you leave the same way that you walked in, but I pray that you would respond.
Yeah.
Come on, young people, fill these altars up. I pray that you would respond. Come on, mamas. Come on. Don't take the same path that you've always taken. But you allow God to direct you so that your life can be changed. You don't have to be bound by the bondage of sins in this world. But you can be redirected. You can be redirected in your future. It's brighter than you think. Come on, young ladies. Hallelujah. Come on, young men. Pour your hearts out to God. It's the best thing you'll ever do.